We bring you greetings again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and soon coming King. Again, as we look at the topic of this evening, there's something about the concept that perhaps before too many years, we'll all be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What greater thrill, what greater anticipation could we hope for than to know that someday, perhaps not too far down the path of life, God will call us into that perfected kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples had asked, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of God?" He says, "Not for you know the times or the seasons which God hath reserved unto himself." But Scripture makes it very plain. Even as Daniel writes, to seal those things up until the time of the end, then knowledge shall be increased. We find in Paul's writing, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the times and the seasons." It seems like the Word of God wants the Christian to be discerning, to be able to not only tell the signs in the heavens of the coming storms in the physical sense, but to be able to see the signs about us that are coming in the spiritual realm. Again, we plan to continue on the series that we had started a week ago. Last week, we tried to touch on the framework of prophecy, fulfilled prophecy, and started on current events in prophecy. We had touched on the current events in prophecy on the first aspect of alignment of the nations. We're planning to start this evening on technology. Was there anything somebody wanted to say up to this point before we started on technology? Again, as we try to tune in to what is happening about us, that we may be wise in discernment. Are there any questions that came to your mind in the last week or thoughts that you want to share at this point? If not, let's move on. I had that portion our brother read for the second part of the evening, basically Israel, Jerusalem, and prophecy. But as we go through the section of notes, again, I don't know if there's any extra notes for first-timers. I believe I see something being handed. I'm just kind of letting up to the people here. If you want to make more notes, that's your privilege. As we look at technology, the world we live in is changing rapidly. I just got a printout here of a top futurist predicting how technology will change humanity by 2020. This was actually printed off in the computer on December 17th of last year. The writer goes on to say, "The rapid speed of change that Facebook started just 6 years ago, now there's 350 million users and counting, once was figured as fiction, is now considered reality. For the sense of information, the exponential growth of technology is moving that rapidly. And it seems like as the years are progressing, it's going faster and and faster still." He points out that probably in the next 10 years, we will have the computer developed to the point with the three-dimensional virtual reality, you will not even be able to tell the difference between the real and the virtual reality. You will be able in conversation reach out and feel the touch of somebody on the opposite side of the world. Virtual reality is the idea where you can hardly tell the difference. It's so assimilated into the brain. To show you even how they're using virtual reality, it is stated, man has an inborn sense against killing. As they diagnosed the rifles that were laid down at the Battle of Gettysburg, they discovered 90% of them were not fired. The human being instinctively could hardly pull that trigger to kill a fellow human being. Today, they are using virtual reality to deaden the sense. where killing becomes as commonplace as swatting a fly. Today, you can walk through buildings not yet assembled through virtual reality. Through the computer and technology, it is amazing the many blessings we do have, but the dangers are paramount. The dangers that once were confined to being able to get a TV set in your house through the computer, internet, the evil's just as available. As far as what is happening, and we will touch on some other aspects of the USA, but the USA is known to be the greatest exporter of porn any nation has ever matched or met. We are living in times where the computer, the speed, the capacity is holding out warning flags. We look at another aspect of the computer as we look at the languages. I won't be going necessarily line by line in some of my notes, but with their ability to convert the human language from one language into another instantaneous, there's a very real possibility not too far down the road, the keyboard entry will no longer be the main point of entry. It'll take the spoken voice and translate it into whatever language it's destined for. As we're looking at these changes, if I would be up here and suddenly start talking to you in another language, unser Vater, der du bist in Himmel, geherrliget werde dein Name, dein Reich komme, dein Wille geschehe auf Erden wie in Himmel. If you were speaking into one of these translations, that German part of the Lord's Prayer would instantaneously be flipped to English or whatever language you desired. What is interesting is we're looking at the current achievement in technology. We are basically seeing the human being's effort to unravel or undo God's approach at the Tower of Babel to confound the human language. God had purposes in that. Mankind did not learn from the flood. It was not that many years after the flood that Nimrod decided to build the Tower of Babel. And as you look at that, you begin to see some ominous implications that are being paralleled in our own generations. The computer is giving rapid advancement towards the ability to bring the world together into one. We are looking at the computer's ability in data processing. We're looking at the computer's ability to recognize voice. We are looking at the ability of the computers and the GPS, global positioning satellites, to identify where you are. Very handy for those like me that are not too great at road skills. And when you're on strange roads, a GPS is pretty handy. But as they have that incorporated into your cell phones, we are building rapidly towards a point where total control can come about almost overnight. Those are the dangers we need to be alert to. And I'm just sharing some of these things here, what mankind is doing. We look at the aspect given of a certain drug lord that the authorities were looking for. One day he made a mistake of getting on his cell phone. In a matter of seconds, it was recognized, his location. 20 minutes later, he was dead by the authorities of the land. I understand every fax, every email, every voice transmission is passing through a search agent that is carefully pulling out the words that look suspicious. You really do not have privacy in the world we live anymore. To the Christian, it's no real great danger because we know we serve a God who knows our thoughts before we think them. But when you put that kind of computer, kind of technology capabilities into a coming man who wants to rule the world with an iron fist, you can see some ominous implications. When we look at the aspect of a computer, another article here I printed out in December, human microchip implant, Verachip maker merger with credit monitoring firm worries privacy activists. Back last year in a downsizing economic crash, Vered Chip was having some struggles staying alive, but they now have, combined with Positive ID, a new company. And behind that is the NationalCreditReport.com. One of the leaders of that made a statement. He dreamed of GPS-equipped chips being injected into foreigners entering the United States, prisoners, children, and the elderly. He thought the Vera chip would be used as a building credit or ATM card. Another place, he said, oh, never will we force it on anybody. But remember, behind a lot of these things is the point of acclimating a population to the goals that they have in mind. And we become deadened to the dangers as a frog gradually being boiled in water until he dies too late, aware of the dangers. I'm just sharing some of these things of how rapidly technology is changing. We are living in a time. On your notes down there in technology, down there where it says 1G HARP, lifting the areas of the ionosphere by energy beams to affect thought processes and control. We have arrived at a point where they can blanket cities with energy waves that can deaden the mentality and energies of an entire city. We are living in a time through these same energy waves that can control the storm systems. Most of you probably were not aware of the storm that swept into New Orleans a couple of years ago. There's very strong evidence that was controlled by energy waves directing that storm system. We are living in a time where Russia has developed in its military might the scalar wave capability, similar application where they can fire high energy waves at incoming planes and instantly destroy entire fleets or ships or can even create earthquakes. We are living in a time where things are moving rapidly. To the Christian, there should be no fear. But we need to be aware. Don't get your sights lined up 20, 40 years ahead. There's a lot of things that seem to be in the planning stages by Satan and his cohorts. And God already has given us warnings in His Word about what will be coming down the pike. We look at the aspect of control. We cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Revelation warns us. A lot of things are not wrong. When the Social Security numbers first came out, there was a sense of fear among a lot of believers. Is this right to take? A lot of these technology things are not wrong in themselves, but we should be aware of that and never let man's achievements become our false gods. We serve a mighty God who wants our heart and its undivided affection. Fact is, God has a way of striking at the false gods in our life to eliminate competition. Are there any thoughts you want to share on this aspect of technology in our generation? I could go into a lot more details of how law enforcement's trying to develop it, how enemy nations are trying to use it to be able to zap our electric grids, and so on. But I just want to make us aware, as we're looking at prophecy, these things should alert us. When Christ makes that one statement, he gives a lot of clarification. But he says, when these come to pass, all these simultaneously, then look up, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. Are there any thoughts? If not, let's move on into the identification aspect of it. The identification, what is happening, as I look back over my notes, I actually had shared a lot of these back in my home church about 11 years ago. And I was just reviewing a little bit where we were at 15 years ago, where and what has happened in the interim. One of the big differences is things are now public that were much more held in secret. In the earlier 90s, the goal of the UN secretly being carried out was one world global system, but they wanted to keep it out of the headlines. As they're becoming bolder and bolder, you're now seeing it hit the headlines on pretty much regular basis. The idea of identification, we realize driver's licenses are tightening up as you now need your picture. You now have some information there, and it appears it will be tightening up more and more, where the driver's license will contain a lot more about you than perhaps you'd like to have available to a scanner. As far as the computer chips and their usage, it was just interesting. Britain just this week, I guess it was, is putting pressure on to computer chip every dog in Britain so they can control them better. Privacy experts are screaming or warning, hey, that's not fair. But again, we're living in a world rapidly moving towards identification, control, and simultaneously, we're seeing a world that's more and more despising Christianity in public. And I think this is part of the reasons that Christ warns us, if it hated me, it will hate you also. He wants us not to be surprised. But he says at one place, take no thought beforehand what ye shall say. You know, if you're ever brought before kings and authorities because of your faith. And I pondered this promise of Christ. He says, take no thought beforehand, for it shall be given you in that hour that which ye shall say. Does that make us fear, or does that make us rejoice? The Almighty is on our side, and what happens will be endowed with his presence and power. As we look at this aspect of the world being prepared, we are seeing more and more of the concept, it's good for you. It actually appears a lot of the coming control will be voluntarily accepted by the world at large because they're saying it's good for you. It's good for you to have your health records available, that if you're in an accident, whoever scans your info will know exactly all the workings of your health history. Again, Christians, we don't have to be fearful of the knowledge. We need to be concerned about the powers that be are basically bent on eliminating God from planet Earth. Going back to the Tower of Babel again, we are given the insights there. As Nimrod, whose name means let us rebel, he developed the two-pronged system, which we now see coming into place in our generation. The one was a global political leadership, one world. We saw in his same generation the development of a one-world religious system, the mother-child system, worshiping Tammuz. We have most of the false religions of our world offshoots of what Nimrod and his generation started. History repeats itself? Absolutely. Because the powers behind it are the same. Satan working to wrest control of the planet Earth from God the Creator. The human race, who it says all of us are basically created with a similar potential sin nature, and we do not learn from history. As we look into the next aspect, the knowledge explosion. Human knowledge is rapidly increasing. It has been said a few years ago, it's been doubling every 15 to 24 months. 90%. Thank you. That might come in handy. College courses, some of them are about obsolete to the end of the year. As we continue to look, what is taking place on the area of technology. In commerce, you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. We are seeing, if you're in business, more and more pressures being put on. Don't use your bank for your payroll deposits. Do it on directly through the internet. I happened to be talking to someone from the IRS recently there from where I work at a feed mill. We still are making our payroll deposits via the bank. They warned me most banks are discontinuing this option. You have to go online to make the payroll deposits. More and more, the tightness of control is coming into our everyday living. Again, the aspect is we should not be resisting with an independent, I'm in charge attitude, but rather showing respect to the authority structures that God has placed in our life as long as we are able, but then be willing when the time comes to be able to stand. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are there any thoughts anybody wants to share on this whole aspect of technology and so on before we move into Israel and Jerusalem? Any experiences that you have come across or insights that would be profitable for the body? Brother Steve is sharing that going to the doctor's office now, it's no longer just insurance. They want to scan your driver's license. That has more vital information they need and want. Anything else? In the doctor's office, I heard in our area some time ago, somebody was given a form to fill out. One of the questions on the form was, do you have guns in your house and how many? You wonder what that has to do with your health. It's part of the encroaching control. And if you want to touch on technology, you might think that no one would know how many guns I would have. I'm an avid hunter. It's none of their business. But already the technology exists. They can be driving by your road and count the number of guns via their technology that you have in your house. Don't think that we are not open. And if the time ever comes where a group of people become the scapegoat of society, like happened back there in the days of Nero, when he blamed the Christians for the burning of Rome, we just need to be ready. Be ready, whatever the cost. Remember, God has said, we are not to fear him that can kill the body, but fear him who after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say fear him. Again, I don't share some of these things to scare you, but just to wake you to the society we are now living in. Questions in the census. What should we do and how shall we answer them? Anybody want to give their evaluation? Should we answer everyone or let some blank? I would encourage from my own perspective, breathe a prayer to the Lord and say, Lord, is there anything here that you would not have me to answer? And where do I submit to the authority structures you have placed into the life, in my life, to the best of my ability as long as I could? I think we see both in Joseph and in Daniel a certain attitude which we do need to duplicate. And that is a willingness to submit to authority as long and as far as you can without violating the laws of God. I cannot see Joseph or Daniel walking out of a meeting with the boss slamming the door behind him because of anger. I see both of them seeking to be submissive as long as they could. But there comes the point where Joseph said to his boss's wife, you are not mine to utilize. I am God's. Daniel said, or conveyed as he knelt facing Jerusalem to pray, God's laws and demands were higher than man. The disciple says, choose you this day whom you think we should serve. He said, when they basically said, we will obey Christ. Again, I think there are some areas out ahead. It will have to be a personal decision of conscience. Let's just be careful we don't have an independent, rebellious spirit, but rather one seeking the mind of Christ. Any other thoughts for our sister as far as filling out a census? How fast some of these things will take hold, I'm not certain, but I think that we're through this series and we look, try to look at all aspects of prophecy. We'll see there's reasons why we are given the hint, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. I think it will come together very rapidly. Anything else before we move into Jerusalem and Israel in prophecy? Okay, I thought we should briefly, as we're moving into Israel and Jerusalem, we ought to look back at Daniel chapter 2, and this would be the illustration, the first one in the back of your notes, where I have a picture of the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar saw. Daniel had a parallel dream for interpretation. In Daniel 7, we had another dream that Daniel had concerning this same statue. And I think it helps us to realize a little bit why Israel is playing such an important part in end time happenings. King Nebuchadnezzar dreamt a dream. He lost the memory of it, became very demanding. Daniel had a repeat of the dream and basically said unto Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2, the latter part there, he basically saying unto him in chapter 2, verse 34, as he touches on, thou sawest, well, let's back up a little bit. Let's back up to verse 31, chapter 2, verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that there no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Looking at that illustration, you basically had given four major earthly empires that will be persecuting the nation of Israel. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold, Babylon. The second one, the Medo-Persian Empire, the chest and arms of silver. The Grecian Empire, belly and thighs of brass. The Roman Empire, divided into the east and western portion, legs of iron. But then Daniel basically goes on as he, or yeah, Daniel goes on as he gives the interpretation in chapter 2 when he says in verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And a kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. As you look at this image that Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel saw, you saw a quick overview of coming history. As you look at the Revelators, he writes, he talks about, looking backward, you have six kingdoms. Because looking backward, it picked up two before the time of Nebuchadnezzar, Egypt and Assyria. Then as you look forward again in Revelation, it gives you another point. It talks about the eighth is of the seventh. just give you a riddle to work on. Who is the seventh if the sixth is Rome and the Antichrist is the eighth? Sometimes scriptures kind of give you a point to ponder. Somewhere between the time of Rome's demise and the coming fulfillment of the 10 toes, 10 horns, and the 11th horn, there is a seventh one because the Antichrist is the eighth. Yes. That's who it appears it had to be. That Hitler gained the title of the seventh. Basically, those kingdoms that severely persecuted the Jewish culture and heritage. These things, again, Scripture gives us insights. Let's say one time, it is God's glory to hide a matter and is the honor of kings to search it out. I think God likes to give us some quizzes just to sense our diligence in researching details. Thank you, brother. As we look at Daniel's, he saw in his own vision in chapter 7, he saw a beast. Chapter 7 of the Gentile kingdoms. A lion-like, a bear-like, a leopard-like, and the fourth one, dreadful and terrible. Again, I'm just sharing this to give you a quick backdrop of Israel and Jerusalem. Our brother read tonight out of Zechariah chapter 12. And it's important that we realize God is not finished with Israel. I know there's a teaching out there among some that the church age has assimilated all the promises of God. As I look in the Holy Word of God, the promises unfulfilled yet to Abraham's physical bloodline are massive. And if you want to study, just start going through the major and minor prophets and highlighting every promise given to the physical bloodline of Abraham. And you'll be amazed how many yet still need to be fulfilled. As we look at the fig tree, as I have in my notes again, Israel was to be reestablished as a nation. Frederick the Great once asked the advisor, "Man, how can you give me proof of a God?" The advisor looked Frederick the Great in the eyes and says, "The Jews, your majesty, the Jews." The very fact the Jewish people did not get assimilated into the nations they were driven into is a marvelous work of God to retain a people of his own. There in Zechariah 12, we see, coming back to current events, a very interesting thing happening as you read the newspaper and realize what God says he's going to do about the pressure being put on Jerusalem. Just this week, if you're following at all, our vice president has been sent to Jerusalem, to Israel, to demand they stop building in the eastern portion. It is not conducive to peace. With the demand, you shall stop. If you look at a verse or two our brother read in Zechariah 12, behold, verse 2, "I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in a siege both against Judah and Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. And all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." I think the siege of Jerusalem already has started, but prophecy seems to imply God will give protection to them unto the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. And at that point, it will be withdrawn. That is time of Jacob's trouble. And it's that time alone that will be required to bring the heart of Israel back to Yeshua, the Messiah. Without that, there probably is no other way. But as we look at Israel, Jerusalem, what happened in the 1948 in the war that immediately followed their being declared an independent state, the supernatural victories they had, what happened in 67, if you've read any details of some of the battles, again in 73, there is no question the hand of God was evident. And I believe we'll continue to see the hand of God rebuking the kingdoms and nations that tried to divvy up Jerusalem. There will be a time it will happen for a short time, according to Zechariah 13:14. But even our own presidents, when they determine to force Israel to surrender the land that God has says, I will make for my own name's sake, they are bringing the wrath of God upon themselves and the powers they represent. Are there any thoughts as far as Jerusalem and Israel in today's current news? We could get into some more discussions. If not, let's just move on to a little bit more. The fig tree symbolism. Christ gives this in the gospel accounts. When he talks about, behold, the fig tree, another gospel, he says, all trees, when they bud and bring forth, you know that summer's nigh. He goes on to give a criteria that goes with it. Luke 21 seems to imply, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. Again, I mentioned last Wednesday night, when do you start counting that generation? Do you start from 48? I happen to be born in 47, so I guess I'd qualify to be part of the generation present when Israel became a nation. Is it 67 when they gained control of geographical East Jerusalem? Some years ago, I was just reading in Matthew chapter 1. As I was reading, an interesting thought hit me. God, are you trying to give us any hints to the length of a generation? And I decided, just out of curiosity, I want to see, it's counting the genealogy from Abraham to Christ. And what caught my attention, when you divided the years 1921 BC by 42, you came out to 45.74 years. Is that strictly a coincidence? Or was God just trying to prompt my heart just to give me a little idea what might be a generation? I know, and I heard some people say it's 38 years in the Jewish understanding. We could stretch and say all people living. But at that point in time, I thought, if 67 is the beginning of the countdown, and you add 46 years to it, you're 2013. Then some more things get a little interesting. If you're at all observing some of the news media, which is talking about 2012 being such an important day in the occultic understandings, 2012, again, the question comes back, are we going to see some major moves by Satan in the next couple years ahead of us? The one report I got a hold of seemed to imply there's nothing in the calendar, the satanic bureaucratic organizations that match the year 2012 for fulfillment of a lot of their dreams. And just sharing this again to let you know, we are living in days that are perplexing. Keep your eyes and spiritual ears open. I feel we are living at a time with Jerusalem as we are told there in Daniel again, when it talks about the 70 sevens, it talks about Christ being cut off at the closing of the 69th year. It appears we have one cycle of seven 360-day years to go through. And that cycle will begin with the signing of a peace treaty where the Antichrist will at least be in the shadows of it. And it's in light of that, that on your very back illustration on your notes, I did try to put in a little something just to give you an idea of peace treaties to keep watching. When might the valid one come into place that we are told there by Daniel being confirmed? I had downloaded the Hebrew calendar some years ago, and I was searching for 45 and 30 days between fall feasts, Jewish feasts, to see if there's any significance anywhere. And as I started searching, it's when I realized that between the Feast of Yom Kippur in the fall and the Feast of Hanukkah, there were 75 days. It does not matter which calendar year you check it out, there's 75 days because of the way the Jewish people reckon the lunar calendar with the moon, 29 and a half days. They add their 13th month when it gets out of sync with the seasons. And that whetted my appetite. Feast of Hanukkah was not there when Daniel couldn't put it together. And I realized after what I discovered, it's now in various books. Others are finding the same thing. You might say, what's the big deal of that? The reason I'm sharing this is if the Jewish fall feasts are fulfilled in the types and shadows as the spring feasts were, you're given a strong indication by counting backward as to when the valid beginning of the 70th week of Daniel will take place. Because you count backward 3.5 years from the Feast of Yom Kippur, it'll put you to closing the Passover. You count back another 3.5 years at 360 days, it will put you into some fall period, October, November, when a feast, when a signing of a peace treaty will take place, which will be the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. We hear a lot of talk of peace treaties, but if it's going to go into effect where Israel's fall feast perfectly fulfill the shadows and types, you have an interesting observation as to when the real peace treaty will be signed with the right players to say, sit up and take notice. On that illustration, if you look at that, on the very bottom line, I have it as 1260 plus 30 plus 45 days going from the Feast of Unleavened Bread or Peace of Passover to the beginning of the millennium. You have the first half of that cycle, basically your seal judgments, your birth pangs, your consolidation of the Antichrist system on planet Earth. You have Satan's wrath as the war in heaven is fought, and Michael casts Satan down, apparently right in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. And Satan's wrath begins at that point. Your trumpet judgments and vial judgments only start after the seventh seal ends. And I just dropped that in there because years ago, I always had the mental picture the whole 70th week of Daniel was a wrath of God. I cannot see that in Scripture any longer. And I say this in the spirit of humility. If you disagree, brother, sister, I still love you. But I'm just sharing this. It put the whole context of end of time happenings in a new light. If the trumpets and vile judgments of God are combined with wrath of the day of the Lord, that puts us into watching current events of the times and seasons, brethren. I would not have you to be ignorant. I understand you're not stretching the interpretation of the times and seasons there as watch the Jewish feasts. It will give you an inkling of what is happening and when and where. Are the thoughts, are times about up? We could go in to a lot more here on Israel and Jerusalem, their boundaries which have been promised to them, the Abrahamic, the Mosaic, the Davidic covenant. Some of those boundaries have not yet been fully realized. I think there's real potential that Israel may have another major victory between now and the 70th week of Daniel, where they may gain a lot more territory. We have the aspects of the location of the temple. We have it in Revelation chapter 14. The angel tells John to measure the temple. Leave out the court it is given unto the Gentiles. We are told they have discovered the location of the old temple. It's a few hundred foot away from the Dome of the Rock. No need any longer to eliminate that to establish the Jewish temple in its setting. has established between the East and West Gate. We are definitely living in times where let's be alert. Let's focus daily our decisions. Lord, what would you have me to do? We are told to occupy till he comes. We are not to be sitting with our feet propped up on a lazy boy. May we encourage each other in prayer and continue to remember me as we try to share in the coming 2 weeks as we look at a few of the things remaining in the notes. I'm not getting over all of them. You can look at some of them. Some of them are self-explanatory. May God continue to bless each one as we labor together for him.